At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the 6th annual Chris and Chris NBA All-Star Weekend podcast. This is the longest running tradition in my podcast, so I hope you all enjoy it as much as I did. But before I get to that, let me just do some quick housekeeping stuff. First off, there will be updates to the YouTube channel, so be clear of that. Second thing I do want to mention is, unfortunately, in what has been a rough last couple weeks for me, my basement flooded and all my vinyls got destroyed. So the vinyl collection series that I very much love and very much want to give to you is currently on hold while I figure out what the hell I'm going to do about that situation. But on the lighter side, I am performing live at Masonic Temple a week from today. That is in Detroit, Masonic Temple. I will be performing at 8:40. The event is from 7 p.m. to midnight. And it is a bunch of Detroit creatives, a bunch of different podcasters, artists, musicians. There will be people selling paintings, drawings. It's just an all Detroit creative event. Tickets are on sale. They are only $15 right now. They become $30 at the door. So make sure you get them now. The link is in my bio at Real Chris Platy on Instagram. Go check that out, and in the bio you will see the link to buy a ticket. Your ticket comes with drinks and food, and if you get a ticket, send it to me, let me know so that I can meet you after, because I want to meet everybody that comes out to see me in my first ever live podcast. So I greatly appreciate everyone that's already bought a ticket, and I look forward to seeing more of you at that show. Also, follow me on Twitter at Real Chris Platy, the same as Instagram, ChrisPlatte. If you don't know how to spell real, don't follow. Now, without further ado, let's get to today's episode, the 6th annual Chris and Chris NBA All-Star Weekend podcast. I hope you all enjoy this one. Have a good All-Star Weekend, everybody. This is the best time of the year for the NBA. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Strictly Hoop Talk, a very special Strictly Hoop Talk, the longest running tradition in my podcast career. And that is, of course, Chris Phillips joining me for All-Star Break. We are going to go through and predict everything. We're just reading off the app. No notes. Just talking about NBA All-Star Weekend. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, man. Glad to be back. And thanks for having me back.
Of course. I mean, you know, this podcast is only going as far as this tradition. The year this tradition stops is when this podcast stops. So we're going to keep it running.
This has got to be, I would say, what, seven, six? I don't know.
Six.
This is six. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, the 6th annual Chris and Chris All-Star Weekend podcast. Before we get to the All-Star, though, I do got to talk to you, because I actually have not talked to you about this on or off air. And that is the Andre Drummond trade. Now, you have been somebody who's been long against Andre Drummond. The Pistons traded him for a bag of Doritos and a second-round pick. Chris, how are you feeling about the Andre Drummond trade?
Okay, well, like you said, I am not a big fan of Drummond. Have not been for a while. Honestly, when we re-signed him from his original rookie contract to his new, like his close-to-max contract, mm-hmm. I was mad about it. Like, I thought they should have let him walk. But whatever, I get it. I understand. He was, like, what, 23 years old at the time? Yeah. So it makes sense. And then, year in, year out, a couple years add up, and now everyone's, like, born that train. So I was super happy just to see him finally go. I understand that they're in a very hard place because, one, the record's terrible. Two, he has that player option. And or three, he opts out and you get nothing for him. Essentially what happened either way. But... Mm-hmm. I guess I liked it because it prevents him from opting in and eating $28 million in salary that I think they could use elsewhere in a lot of ways. So I liked it for that aspect. Of course, the return is like you look at it and say, "Wow!" Like we got Brandon Knight back, we got John Hanson, and to be honest with you, pretty much a totally irrelevant second round pick. But you never know. I mean, it's an asset in some way, so you can always attach that somewhere down the line to maybe sweeten something a little bit. But just kind of I think getting the bad energy off the team and then avoiding that potential player option. I think overall it was a good move.
Yeah, I think it was a move that unfortunately happened a little too late for Detroit, but I understand why it took so long for it to happen because just last year, around this time last year, Detroit is a playoff team. And so, that was really the Pistons' goal, the owner's goal was to just always be as competitive as possible. So I understand while Drummond isn't the greatest player and he wasn't worth what he was what the salary we were paying him, he made us X amount better, and that meant everything to a team chasing, the bottom of the playoffs. So, I understand why it was a tough position and it took so long for it to get here. And I don't want to sit here and act like, even though I'm happy Drummond's gone, I don't want to act like it's all Drummond's fault because, the Pistons did not. They failed, two regimes failed to put talent around Andre Drummond. Like that's the simple fact is that Detroit didn't supply Drummond with enough talent around him, especially on the perimeter, which is something a big man needs in today's league, is you need perimeter talent to go with an interior big. But it was also the big part to me with Drummond was I just you can't be a max guy and try once every 3 to 4 games. Like Quinn Richardson had this quote on a podcast when he was talking with Kevin Durant, and he said that, by the first 5 minutes of every game, he could tell what kind of game Drummond was going to have because Drummond just straight up, for so many games, I know everybody that's watched countless Pistons games has seen him just not show up consistently. And I seen it myself, game three of the Milwaukee series last year in the playoffs. It was the first game in Little Caesars Arena. So me and my friend were going to go no matter what, first game in Detroit for the Pistons, a first playoff game, that is. And I see he loses the tip, puts his head down. Milwaukee runs the floor and gets a bucket because he's not in the paint. And I knew from the jump that this was going to be one of those games for him. And meanwhile, Blake's in this leg brace that weighs like 27 pounds, diving on the floor, giving it his all. And I just see Drummond sulking, and I'm just like, dude, that was my last straw with Drummond. So that's kind of where I stand with him.
That's how I referenced the bad energy. Of course, he's a fine player, but when you're making that much money and you're not trying it, you're all it's kind of like a slap in the face. Also, I was kind of surprised, like a hypothetical, is that I understand his value probably wasn't very high. Obviously, it wasn't high. We see that with the return, but like a team like Dallas, who is comfortably in the playoffs, I think it's safe to say, but a team that can actually win a playoff series, who just lost their starting center. I'm surprised that a team like that, maybe there's another couple teams out there that are in the same situation, that they didn't make an offer. Instead they went with Cauley Stein and cost them basically nothing. But, I think Drummond is a significant upgrade from Cauley Stein, so.
I mean, I see what you're saying with Dallas, and I agree with that, but I really do think that not a lot of people expected Drummond to be traded. Like, it seemed very last minute because from what I understand, I don't know when this was told, but this was told to the Pistons that at some point near the trade deadline, it could have been even the last couple hours or the last day, last 2 days, whatever, that Andre Drummond would consider opting in. And Detroit was just like, no, we're not going to go through this again. And Detroit wanted to get under the trade Drummond and get under the luxury tax and get some type of asset back. And so that's what they did. I don't know contractually if Dallas could have made it work without
They
giving
would
up
have,
Tim Hardaway.
yeah, Hardaway probably would have had been in it, but I'm sure they might have another contract. I don't know, but
Yeah, but and Tim Hardaway's been playing very well for them.
yeah,
So
no,
maybe
yeah,
that's what it is,
no, that
but
wouldn't make sense for them to move him to get Drummond. I agree with that, but.
But yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Like I think if that was the price for Drummond,
Exactly. That's what
even if
I'm
it's a
saying.
half a season, like there's quite a few teams that could have used him. Houston could have, people were talking about Houston. They had a $12 million trade exception. Now, granted, they needed a lot more to get there, and I don't think they had the means to get there salary wise. But like, teams like that were in a position where they were in need of a center, and you could if you're just keeping them for 3 months, you can bring them off the bench, do whatever you want. It doesn't matter, especially if you're only giving up a second round pick for a former all-star. I definitely think that there could have been some different options on the table, but I feel like personally this deal just kind of came together very quick. Detroit called Cleveland, and I'm
It seemed
surprised
like
Thompson wasn't in the deal either.
I can't believe Cleveland of all teams traded for him. That seems like if you're gonna rank teams, that you would think they'd be at the bottom. Like they're almost dead last in the league. Why would they want, and they already have Love and Thompson. I don't know. It just seems
They're
kind of
just
odd.
desperate for young talent or youngish talent.
Yeah, I guess I can see how it works. I mean, he's certainly an upgrade over Thompson, but.
Yeah. But anyways, that's enough Drummond talk. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Let's start with NBA All-Star Weekend, the thing that we are here for. The celebrity game, I won't really go through that because, to be honest with you, each year I've gotten less and less interested in it. As a kid, I used to be fascinated with it back when Chris Tucker was in it, because Rush Hour is some of my favorite movies and stuff like that. But each year
Well, it's
kind of gets
getting
less and
worse and
less.
worse, you know?
Yeah, like they had the Property Brothers for a couple years, and I'm like, dude, okay.
Who's tuned in to see these boys?
Yeah, who's tuning in to see exactly? But there are some people in there, shout out comment, that I do respect, so I'm not gonna make it seem like it's a total BS. And my boy Peter Rosenberg, I think, is returning. But all jokes aside, let's jump to the Rising Stars and start there. Now, this one is going to be interesting because there are a couple injuries. So Colin Sexton is replacing Tyler Hero on the US team, and Nicolo Melli is replacing DeAndre Ayton on the world team. Man, DeAndre Ayton cannot stay healthy for me in fantasy.
Yeah, that hurt that team too a lot. He's clearly one of their best players.
Yeah. So I'll read the rosters, Chris, and then we'll make a prediction for who we think is going to win and who will be MVP. So the US roster is Miles Bridges, Wendell Carter Jr., Devontae Graham, Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, Kendrick Nunn, Eric Pascal, Colin Sexton, PJ Washington, Zion Williamson, and Trae Young versus the world roster, which is Alexander Walker from New Orleans, DeAndre Ayton, who's out again and replaced by Nicolo Melli, another New Orleans player, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Roy Hachimura, my boy Sevi from Detroit. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his last name because every time I get it wrong. But I love Sevi, European Clay. That's his nickname. Josh Okogie and Wagner from Washington. So of those rosters, who do you think, Chris, is going to win? We'll just start with the winning.
Well, to be honest, I think if you look at it, the U.S. roster is like significantly better, especially
Yeah.
with eight out. I mean, of course, they have Doncic and Shai Gilgeous has actually been really, really good this year.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like they don't have much firepower. While the U.S. has Trae Young, Zion, Devontae Graham's been balling, Jaren Jackson, Kendrick Nunn, Ja Morant. So I feel like their team's just overall better, and I would expect them to win for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the US roster is stacked this year against the world roster, especially with the DeAndre Ayton injury. Like you said, I would have loved to have seen Ayton and Luka play together, just because I like Luka's playmaking ability in the pick and roll, and I'd love to see him with a big like Ayton who I like finishing around the rim. But like you said, Shea is very good as well, and you know they got some decent shooting, because you know everybody's going to be open. There's no defense played in this contest, but the world roster just doesn't have enough shooting to really kind of close the gap between talent between the U.S. and world roster. So I'm with you. I'm going the U.S. roster because Trae Young can drop 100 in this contest. So I'm not gonna blink and bet against them. But my MVP for the U.S. roster, I think, and this is going to be kind of a hot take because I assume he won't start. Maybe he'll start at the two, but I'm going with Ja Morant. I just like his energy. I think he's probably one of the guys that I could count on most to really want to put on a show. I think Trae Young, now that he's an all-star, will kind of take a back seat in this contest and, you know, just kind of play three-point line to three-point line. But I think Ja is one of those guys who really likes to put on a show, and I'm picking him.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think I agree with you. He seems like, I don't know, he fits on Memphis so well, if that makes sense. Like he feels like one of those old Grizzly players with like Tony Allen and Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph, those guys. He definitely tries super hard. I would love to see Zion, but I think he's obviously gonna be restricted in some way. There's no way he's gonna, you know, go out there in 35, 40 minutes. No chance.
Yeah.
And I seen betting odds. I think Trae Young, interesting, was like the fifth favorite to win the MVP, which obviously is low for him. But I like Trae Young because, like you said, the defense, the shooting, you know, there's no defense and there's, you know, there is shooting, I'm saying. So, you know, I think that fits in perfectly. So I'm just going to take Trae Young, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, even if he just makes like, who was it a couple years ago that made like eight threes in a row?
Bogdanovich, I think, on the Kings,
wasn't it? Yeah, I believe it was. And he just hit like so many threes back to back. So if you could just come in for 2 minutes and get eight threes, like, you know, that's really all you need to win MVP in this contest. You know, just a couple highlight plays and like a ridiculous amount of points. So you honestly don't really have to be going full tilt to get the MVP. I'm just going with Ja because I think that he is one of the players that will try the hardest. And usually it's very tough for big men to get the MVP in this game, even though there's always a big man that has like a ridiculous stat line, like 30 rebounds and 50 points. But like some Bill Russell old school era type stats. But at the end of the day, I think it'll be Ja. That's interesting that Vegas has it at 5-1 for Trae, because again, Trae is clearly probably one of the top two or three guys on this whole entire roster, both US and world, that's fit for this challenge. But that I think that shows that Vegas knows that he's not really interested in trying.
They're always right, man. They're always right.
Yeah, man. That's why I don't bet, man. Vegas knows way too much. But anyways, so that's Friday night, the celebrity game, which starts tonight at 7. I will get it up before that. And then the Rising Stars is on TNT at 9. Now let's go to Saturday, the night you and I love the most. Taco Bell Skills Challenge, Mountain Dew 3-Point Contest, AT&T Slam Dunk Contest. I still think, Chris, I know we say this every year, but I still think they need that fourth event.
I know. We've been trying to, you know, create some, but I'm surprised they still don't have one, honestly. They have been making a lot of changes, it seems like. Like, obviously, we'll probably get to the All-Star game changes on Sunday, but I don't know. I think they'll come up with something eventually. I think eventually, you know, these things kind of wear out. I mean, they haven't yet, but you know what I mean. You know, Tom first is always a good thing.
Yeah, and you know, I liked the higher shooting thing they did in the early 2000s with the WNBA player, the legend, and the current player. I liked that. I kind of don't understand why that left, because it was a quick game, but it was just another game. It just feels like the All-Star weekend needs a little something extra right now. Just because, like you said, it is changing slightly every couple years, but it seems like we should be due for some type of significant change, whether it's a new event or something. But I digress. Let's start with the skills challenge, which is the first one, and that is at 9 p.m. Eastern. The participants for this year's skills challenge are Bam Adebayo from Miami, Patrick Beverley of the Clippers, Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is replacing Derrick Rose, who is injured, Chris Middleton of Milwaukee, Domantas Sabonis from Indiana. Shout out another fantasy guy of mine that's been killing it for me. The only reason I'm afloat here. Pascal Siakam from Toronto, and the defending champion, which I totally forgot about, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good field. I'm really, really sad D. Rose can't compete. One, because obviously he's injured, which sucks for him. And two, it's in Chicago, man. It'd been so cool to, you know, see him participate. So that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I think when I look at this field, I do think that as far as big man wise, I mean, I know Bam's a great passer, but I don't think Bam can hit the three in one or two tries. You know that every year it comes down to really the passing and the 3-point shot. Is you gotta do both of those efficiently. That's where the time where the ground is made up the most, is in passing and shooting. And you know, I don't think Sabonis is another guy who's a big that can't really shoot. He could pass pretty well, but I don't know if he'll be able to pass that specific pass in the challenge. So I don't know. I feel like overall this year the big or the wing categories is a little bit lacking this year in this challenge.
Yeah, I agree. And like Jason Tatum's, I mean, sure, I guess he's not a big. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he's a wing.
So, right. So he kind of, it's basically Sabonis and Bam and maybe Siakam a little bit. And I don't really love either of them for this particular contest.
Yeah. Yeah, if any of those forwards not named Jason Tatum, if I had to pick one, it's probably Pascal, I would guess.
Are they counting Middleton as a wing or like as a two or a three here?
Oh yeah, that's right. They're probably counting him as a wing as well. Which I think he has a good shot, but honestly, if I had to make my pick, Spencer Dinwiddie's a former champion. I like his odds there, but I'm gonna go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's one of the young guys who's really going to try to win this event, because I feel like he's somebody who could raise his commercial profile. But and this is a good way to do it, is to win this challenge. I feel like a lot of these other guys don't really care about their commercial profile, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy who I think he'll do the passing well. I think he's not the greatest 3-point shooter in this event, but I feel like he can hit one in, you know, one or two shots, and that's really all it takes. As long as you hit your three within like the first two shots, you're good.
Yeah, I like I do like Shai Gilgeous, but going back to your point, I like Dinwiddie better to win. I mean, he's a previous champ, like you said. I think he won 2 years ago. He's been playing really well this year. He can hit the three. He's obviously a point guard. He can pass. So I like his odds in this one.
Okay. Taco Bell skills challenge done with. I love that challenge, though. I really
do. It's good because it goes by so fast.
It does. It's like I think they literally do all of the first round, and then it's a commercial break, and then you're like already you're coming back to the finals. Right. So it's kind of crazy.
It only take like what 20 some seconds, you know. So yeah, it's fun.
All right, the 3-point contest, which you and I love. The 3-point contest. This is personally my favorite because it is the most consistently entertaining. There are some slight changes this year. They included, they added two extra balls from the Mountain Dew zone, which is you know at the top rack, and it's and the adjacent wing rack. It's basically like a deeper three ball, kind of like how NBA, what's that league? Oh, Big Three. Yeah, it has the 4-point line, so it's one of those situations, and. Now, other than that, everything else is the same, just the two extra balls from the two Mountain Dew zone range, which is cool. I like that they're doing that since so many players in the league are actually are actually trying to shoot like deep threes
I mean,
now.
yeah, it's kind of an, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's a normal shot, but I mean, it's not like crazy far.
Yeah, which is crazy because Chris, you and I grew up on the 2000s basketball. Do we ever think people were pulling from that range consistently?
Oh no, those games used to be low scoring, man. It's crazy how much has changed in honestly a short amount of
Yeah, and people hugged that 3-point line.
time.
You were not taking a shot that was one step back from the three.
That's
So,
why I loved when I was growing up, I loved shooting three so much because like it just seemed so viable. It seemed like not many people could do it. I love doing it. I literally, it's all I even cared about.
oh, trust me. I know. I played with you back in the days. I know all you cared about was the 3-point line. I would remember playing you, and you would just literally off the rebound, run back to take 2 steps back to the 3-point line and just throw it, and then just run full sprint to get the rebound.
Oh
All right. So, anyways, the participants in this year's event that aren't us: David Bertans from Washington, Devin Booker from Phoenix, who's replacing Damian Lillard, Devonte Graham from Charlotte, Joe Harris, the defending champion from Brooklyn Nets, Buddy Hield from Sacramento Kings. Boy, is that Buddy Hield thing a messy situation?
it's super weird, man. The Kings are just, it seems like they're having an unfortunate year. Bagley's been just destroyed with injuries the whole year. It seems like they have talent. I don't know what's wrong, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I won't claim I watch enough Kings basketball to know what's going on, but I do watch a couple games here and there, and it's not the same team as last year. It's really not. And that to me points in the direction of the coach, but that's just my opinion. Anyways, the closing out the 3-point contest, we also got Zach LaVine from the Chicago Bulls, Duncan Robinson from Miami, who I think is a sleeper in this contest,
Oh,
and
yes.
Trae Young from Atlanta. So Zach LaVine is the hometown player in this contest here, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think Zach LaVine is a 3-point contest type of guy. I think he's a guy who hits threes in games, whether it's off the dribble or or a catch and shoot. But I don't think he's a 3-point gunner in this contest. I like pretty much the whole field though. I really do think outside of LaVine that all of these players can put up some good numbers. Like, I think Davis Bertans has a good chance to
Dude,
do
he's
like
playing
dirt.
threes. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I you know what? Yeah, I'll go with it. I'll go with Davis Bertans, Washington. That's my prediction.
I'm gonna go with, you call him a sleeper. I'm gonna call him the favorite. I think Duncan Robinson's gonna win, dude. I think, I mean, I watched him at Michigan for multiple years. A former D3 player, absolute stud from the 3-point line. And he shoots at an efficient rate too. It's not like he's streaky. He shoots 44%, which is crazy high. I mean, it's high. I would guarantee you it's higher than every other guy in this contest. So, I like Duncan Robinson a lot in this.
Yeah, I'm glad that they added him because he's a role player. He's not the sexiest name, so I like that they added somebody that is very, very good in that field in 3-point contests. It's a little different when it comes to dunk contests because yes, you always love the star power, but in the 3-point contest, if you got a guy who's just shooting at a ridiculous clip like Duncan Robinson, it would just be disrespectful to not at least put him in the contest.
Oh yeah, he's deserving, no doubt about it.
All right, you ready to move on to Slam Dunk, the prime time of Saturday night?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, this one, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't feature any changes, I don't believe. It's just, yeah, I'm reading through it now. Yeah, so there's no changes in this one. It's the same as every dunk contest, except that awful one in like 4 years ago where they had like it was like a team dunk contest.
That
And
was
nobody knew
the,
that they won.
yeah. It was the East 2014 I'm looking at right now.
Oh
Paul
my
George,
God.
Terrence Ross, and John Wall won.
Oh my goodness. Horrible. Horrible.
See,
That
man,
is.
dude, that's why they're not changing stuff, because whenever they do, it's awful.
Very true. This year's participants are Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks, who I like very much. He's got crazy springs. Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic, the one who famously got robbed a couple years ago. And I don't want, I say robbed jokingly because Zach LaVine obviously had an incredible performance as well.
Aaron Gordon probably would have won any other dunk contest ever, but LaVine was, I think, slightly better, man. It's hard to say. It was fantastic.
To me, the difference in that one was I enjoyed Gordon's creativity more. Like, yeah, I think
I agree.
I think that when it comes to a dunk contest, I like to see dunks that that just haven't been done before.
Outside
or just
the box,
are variation.
Totally new, for sure.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, as wrong as this is, I look at all of these dunkers as like supreme, super godlike athletes, and I expect them to be able to do like between the legs from like a crazy distance or stuff like that. Just doesn't impress me as much as something that I've never seen before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Aaron Gordon, the electric chair dunk, the one where he the mascot gave him the ball and he's like literally sitting down, like that is unbelievable.
Oh my god. That is my all-time favorite dunk. So Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard of the Lakers making a return in this, and Derrick Jones Jr. Before we get to predictions, how do you feel about Dwight Howard coming back to the dunk contest?
To be honest with you, man, I like it a lot. I'm really, I don't know, like, I've always been a Dwight fan, and then he had, I don't know what you want to call it, just a downfall, kind of. Like, his career, numbers-wise, was fine, but, like, you know, he was getting town to town, team to team. And it seems like he's really happy to be in L.A. Obviously, I would be, too, for multiple reasons. And, no, he's not an all-star anymore, so I like that he's still included in this weekend, though, because at the end of the day, he is like a Hall of Fame type player. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer. So I'm happy for him, and I think it'd be interesting to see him back for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, part of it is nostalgia, too, right? Like, we grew up.
Yes.
Some of the very first dunk contests we watched were like the Dwight Howard, Nate Robinson battles. And, you know, those were so epic. Like, if I had to rank of all the dunk contests I've seen, those Nate Robinson, Dwight Howard battles are up right up there with the LaVine Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, Nate Robinson robbed Iggy in 06. But yeah, I mean, they were good. They were good for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, a part of it's nostalgia. And like I said, I've always been, you know, a guy who I know Dwight's talents. And I've always thought that in the right system, you know, with the right players around him, he could be a helpful player. He's not, of course, the star he was, but he could be kind of like a star role player type player. But anyways, I'm happy that he's back in the contest. All that being said, I'm definitely not picking him.
No, he's too old, man.
Yeah, he's too old. It would have been cool if they would have added an extra spot this year and given Vince Carter it too, so that there was two kind of generational dunkers and made it five instead of four. Just, you know, extend it, you know, just cut down like one or two commercial breaks and you can make up the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to seen like Vince Carter in here, you know, with Dwight Howard. Then I think it would have been more entertaining if there was more than just one old guy.
Yeah, but I think there's like a significant difference. I mean, of course, Vince Carter is a freak. He's 43 years old and still playing, but Dwight Howard's still like in supreme shape. Well, Vince Carter obviously is not, not to his fault. Of course, it's his
right.
Game. But, you know, I think Dwight could still hang athletically for sure. So I think there's a big difference between the two. But I understand what you're saying for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, again, Pat Connaughton, Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard, Derrick Jones Jr. Derrick Jones Jr., I love the videos of him in practice just doing absolutely nutso dunks. Aaron Gordon, I really, really enjoy. And, you know, it's surprising that the reigning champion is not in it, Diallo, because he was very good.
Yeah, it seems odd if a defending champ doesn't come back. It seems like you almost have to. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if he declined it or what, because honestly, like, he was, even though that year, last year, wasn't great, it was pretty good. It was pretty solid, but I just was kind of stunned that he himself was excellent and didn't come back.
Yeah, especially, right, I guess we don't know if he was invited or what, but, like, of course he's not, like, a name, you know, like a big name, a noticeable name, so you would think he would want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. All that being said, man, Aaron Gordon's been weird for me this year. Just like kind of watch him. He just doesn't look like the same player. So I wanted to pick him, but I won't. I feel like he's probably like the Vegas favorite, but I'm gonna go with Pat Connaughton. I feel like he's like the biggest sleeper in this dunk contest, but I love his springs. Like, I'm blown away by him every time I see him leap out of the gym. So I think that he can, you know, if he can do something creative with his dunks, because I don't think he's got, even though he's got good springs, I don't think he's got the best springs in this contest. But if he can come with something creative, I like his chances.
Yeah, I like, I mean, like we said about Vegas, man, they always win. So I'm going to go with Aaron Gordon. I mean, it's been, 4 years since that dunk contest, I think, since he was, you know, some say Rob's, whatever. I think he's going to want to add one, I guess, man. I think he's going to make up for it. So I'm just going to go with him. And, you know, like I said, it's been 4 years, so who knows what he's going to pull out, like, prop-wise. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, that will do it for the Saturday night contest. My favorite night. Now we get to Sunday, the All-Star game itself, the 69th All-Star game. Now, Chris, I'm going to read off the rule changes because, quite frankly, I'm not entirely sure. Like, I haven't fully comprehended it ever since I read it.
I saw them, and Twitter's so funny, man. Every single comment was like, like, what's going on? every there's so many guests, so many people just confused and trying to figure it out. So yeah, it does seem a little difficult, but I'm sure it'll make sense once it gets rolling.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they're going to have little graphics explaining it before the tip off and all that. That will make more sense. But you know, right now it's basically a charity event that's a tribute to the Mamba and Mambacita Foundation for Kobe Bryant and Gianna and the seven friends and teammates who passed on the helicopter accident on January 26th. First of all, rest in peace to them. Also, I do like the cool wrinkle that that LeBron's team will wear number 2 and Giannis's team will wear number 24.
Yeah, that seemed like a slam dunk idea.
Yeah, I really do like that idea. Now, as far as the charities go, the two teams will compete each quarter for designated charities. I don't know the specific charities that they're competing for each quarter, but basically whichever team wins that quarter, X amount of dollars is donated to that. And I don't know, it's not saying in here how specifically that works as far as, is a donation based on points or is it 24,000 for a tribute to Kobe, or you know what it, I'm not entirely sure on that. And then I saw something weeks ago, but I'm not seeing it on here, about you have to like add up all the points at the end of the third quarter and outscore them by 24 in the fourth quarter. Like, what?
I think it was, you add up all the points after three quarters. But then it said, I thought it said the first one to 24 wins, but it's like, what if the one team is way ahead? I don't know. It was confusing.
Yeah. It's confusing. And like everybody else, we're going to find out when we watch it. I just hope this isn't another East All-Stars dunk contest where we don't know the game is over and then all of a sudden it's over.
Yeah, I know. It seems really weird to keep score from each quarter. I just like seeing the tally go up, you know, and then it gets, you know, as it gets closer, it intensifies. But whatever, we'll see, man. It could be all right.
We'll see. All right, let's just read off the rosters. So there are some replacements. Devin Booker is replacing Damian Lillard. Let's read off the teams here. So let me find them. Hold on. I just had them. Team LeBron. Okay. So LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi, Luka, Harden, Damian Lillard, who's being replaced by Devin Booker, Ben Simmons, Nikola Jokic, Jason Tatum, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Domantas Sabonis, and of course Devin Booker, which I just mentioned. By the way, Chris Paul being an All-Star, Chris, I know you didn't expect that because I didn't expect that.
I'm not gonna say I predicted it, but I thought to myself, he is having a good year. Grant, he's, is
Oh,
even.
I'm saying before the season started.
Oh
Like,
no! Oh my God! Before the season started, I was looking at their team, and I was like, "This might be one of the worst rosters like in the West." Because, sure, Chris Paul can ball, but he's another year older. Shai Gilgeous has taken a ridiculous step forward, so I didn't expect that. Gallinari, he is a good player, but he's injured quite often. I honestly don't even know who their small forward is. And
it's Gallinari.
well, who's their power forward then?
Oh.
I think he's the four and they don't have a three. I mean, of course they have a three. I don't know who it is though. And then Steven Adams, he is what he is. He's solid. But yeah, I mean, good for him, honestly. I'm happy for it.
Okay, I'm Googling Thunder lineup because now I'm totally confused. I'm Googling their starting lineup.
I literally have no clue who your three is.
I'm pretty sure Gallo plays the three, and then they have somebody
I
else
think
at the four.
Gal is the four, but maybe not.
Let's see. I'm looking this up. Oh, Dort. Dort plays shooting guard. Okay, yeah, so Gallinari is starting at power forward.
Well, what is
I don't know how recently, but
Wait, Shai Gilgeous isn't the starting shooting guard?
he's the two or the
Right.
three.
He's got to be the two.
Yeah, he might be the three. I don't know. Is he taller than Dort? Dort's 6'2", so I imagine Shea's playing three.
Oh my God, it sounds like a small
Crazy, crazy. Okay. Anyways, beyond all that, yeah, it's crazy that Chris Paul is having the year that he's having. It's incredible. Shout out to Chris Paul. Let me read Team Giannis before we get too off track here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, with the reserves being Chris Middleton, Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, Kyle Lowry, Brandon Ingram, and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, looking at this team's, Giannis sucks at drafting.
He's just like a goofy guy. I don't know, man. He goes on TV and like tries to be super funny. Like, I mean, it is funny, but only because it's like so weird. But
Yeah.
yeah, man. Of course, on paper, LeBron's team looks just unbeatable compared to Giannis's.
I did like that Giannis said the one thing about Harden, like when he didn't draft Harden and LeBron was like,
Oh,
"What?"
that
Yeah, and he's like, "I want somebody to pass the ball
was
to
funny.
me."
Yeah.
But then he picked up Trae Young, so I don't
Yeah.
know. But yeah, I mean, Giannis's team is definitely undermanned. I mean, he's probably got like four of the, I'd say he's probably got the four worst all-stars,
Yeah,
you know.
LeBron's whole starting five is better, minus, of course, Giannis. I mean, yeah, I think that's safe to say.
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of their bench, like, Giannis has Middleton, Lowry, and Middleton, Lowry, Bam, and Ingram, who I think are probably arguably three, four of the, you know, five or six worst all-stars.
I mean, realistically, I'd say it's hard to say. I mean, of course,
Yeah.
they're all good, but I would say Chris Paul and Sabonis are probably the two worst. I don't know if that's fair to say. That's
Yeah,
probably what I
yeah,
was
those were
getting
the
at.
other two I was considering in that six man race. But anyways, point is Giannis's team is nowhere near as good. But again, I don't know how that ball is gonna move on LeBron's team between Harden, Westbrook. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Devin Booker. But that'll be fun to watch. My prediction, I'm gonna go with Team Giannis just because I feel like everybody's expecting Team LeBron, and I feel like you're going to pick LeBron, and I don't want to agree with you on everything here today. So I'll go with Giannis. I'll go with Team Giannis. You know what the heck? I'll say Giannis, Pascal, and Embiid, which is an interesting front court to watch, by the way. I will like seeing all of that size
Yeah.
together. So I'm gonna go with Team Antetokounmpo. Giannis as my clear MVP, considering, you know, I don't know who else would win MVP on this roster. So I'm going with Giannis, and I'm sure you're going to go with Team LeBron because that's the obvious answer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go for it, one, so we don't agree, and two, his roster is better. But my only thing I could see is that, which could help you your case obviously, is that LeBron's team is like a little more veteran loaded, I feel like. Like LeBron, AD, Harden, all in the starting lineup have been to the All-Star game countless times now. Chris Paul and Westbrook on the bench, you know. So I could see Giannis's team. It feels a little more fresh, you know. Antetokounmpo, Embiid, Siakam, Trae Young, Mitchell, Ingram, Middleton, Bam. Like these are new guys to the All-Star team, you know, like newer guys. So I could see them really, you know, playing more minutes, trying a little harder, stuff like that. So we'll see. It should be interesting. But yeah, I'll take Team LeBron and I'll take Luka Doncic for MVP.
Yeah, now that's the hard thing about picking Team LeBron is picking who the hell is going to be MVP on that squad. Because
Right, yeah.
you can see LeBron, you can see Anthony Davis, you can see Kawhi, you can see Harden, you can see Luka, you can see Russell Westbrook. Like literally half that team has MVP potential. Whereas if you're picking Team Giannis, you got about four or five people who really have a shot at MVP.
A sidetrack, I don't know if you're gonna get to it. What? I mean, did you think anyone got snubbed?
Bradley Beal, yes, honestly.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean,
Who
I
would you
know.
put him over, though?
I would have personally put him over, again, no disrespect, but I personally would have put him over Kyle Lowry.
Oh, you know what's funny? We're so on opposites here because I think Kyle Lowry should be starting over Trae Young.
Just because of how good Toronto is.
Toronto's, dude, one,
I
Atlanta
mean, yeah, they're
sucks.
incredible.
Two, Toronto's fantastic, and three, Lowry's playing really well, man. Like, so I've been saying that for a long time too. I thought Lowry should have started before they even, you know, released it. Of course there's always guys that deserve to make it, but there's simply not enough room, you know?
Yeah.
The same thing with Devin Booker. Was he snubbed more so than Beal? I think so, but at the end of the day, he's in now. But
Yeah.
if anyone was snubbed, in my opinion, and it would be from the East, because I think they got the West down like perfect,
Yeah.
I would say I would let I think Jaylen Brown should be in too, but it's just so hard to like take someone off, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Boston's been good this year, but are they three All-Stars good? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the politics, and I feel like that's what happened is it came down to Brown
Or Tatum.
or Tatum.
Yeah, really much.
And you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, look, Kyle Lowry's having a fantastic season again. Like if Kyle Lowry, you know, I'm not up in arms that Kyle Lowry made it by any means, but I do think Bradley Beal has been absolutely exceptional. And I think that honestly, that Wizards team is not as bad as their record. Like they're pretty. If they didn't have as many injuries as they had, I think they would have a couple more wins.
Well, they still have
And
a chance in the playoffs. I mean, that eighth spot's just hopeless, honestly.
yeah, absolutely hopeless.
And they have been really banged up with injuries, to be fair.
They have, and I think that Bradley Beal is leading one of the best offenses in the league. You know, granted, the flip side of it is they're one of the worst defenses in the league, so that's why they lose. But yeah, I think that Bradley Beal averaging 27 a game, one of the best offenses in the league, being the focal point of that. You know, I think he really deserves some consideration. You know, I just. I'm not mad that he got snubbed, but in my opinion, I would have personally put him over Kyle Lowry, even though Kyle Lowry is, like you said, having a fantastic season. I mean,
It
he's
just
a.
shows how many great players there are, honestly, dude. Like
Yeah.
you're scoring 27 a game. He rebounds and assists fairly well. You know, he scores an efficient rate. It's wild that he's not even on the team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's crazy to comprehend, but. All right, I think that will do it for this podcast, the annual Chris and Chris All-Star Weekend podcast. Chris, I appreciate you recording this on a Friday afternoon with me, just beating the buzzer so we can get it up before the weekend starts. I do want to ask you though before we get out of here, since you know, since we I don't have you on the podcast too much anymore, with the trade deadline and everything happening now. Where do you see the NBA? Like, who do you think is the favorite to win the title? Is it still the Clippers? Because I believe that's who you thought at the beginning of the year, right?
I said the Clippers at the beginning of the year. I have no reason to think otherwise. They got better and the Lakers didn't. So I like them. I just am I would I be surprised the Lakers won? Of course not. But I'm just saying I like the Clippers better. East wise, man, Milwaukee's been dominating, but for some reason, about 2 months ago, I was talking to Honor and I told him I think it'll be the Clippers and the Celtics in the finals. I don't know why. I just felt it. I don't know. And I like Boston too, man. They're good.
Yeah, they're good.
But to be fair, when I said that, I kind of anticipated they would make like even a small move for a big, because I don't think Cantor is necessarily the answer, and they go with Daniel Tice too, kind of like a duo. But man, I thought they were gonna make a small move and they didn't. So it's hard to stay confident in them.
I mean, you just look at that center position, and man, if Robert Williams was like 2 years. Had 2 more years of experience because I like him. I think he could be, especially when he's in a good system like Boston where he could really develop. I would think, 2 years from now, I like what that guy I think is going to be. And, even if they had that, not a great center, but a quality center, then yeah, I would really give them much stronger consideration for reaching for escaping and going to the NBA Finals, but I can't, man. The one thing though that is nice about the Eastern Conference is really outside of Embiid, you're not going to have a center that kills you if you're Boston.
Right. I mean,
So
yeah. Brook Lopez and Gasol by no means will kill you. Miles Turner, eh. So
yeah.
you're right. You can live with it. You can live without it, I should
So
say.
I mean, if you just get matched up on the opposite side of the bracket and somebody knocks Philly, because people are talking about Philly. I heard a podcast the other day, and it was ESPN's podcast, and they were talking about just the possibility that Philadelphia, if they get matched up against Miami in the first round, maybe Miami wins and this team is out in the
Done.
first round.
Oh, I mean, what are they saying about blowing it up if that happens, or they're just saying that they
They're
could?
just saying that that's just like a realistic possibility that nobody really thought of at the beginning of the year, that Philly could
They are,
potentially
though.
be.
I mean, I didn't. They seemed disappointing to me last year. I mean, you have Jimmy Butler along with all those guys. Of course, the Kawhi got the bounce and whatever, but that felt disappointing. And I didn't love the offseason moves. Granted, they lost Butler and they made up for it in some ways, but they just, it's just something about them. It's like that's lacking in terms of, it's like you expect more, You just expect more and it's just not there.
100%. Anyways, Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. I 100% appreciate it. As always, like I said, I love that we keep this tradition alive. And next year is year 7, and I look forward to it, man.
Oh, me too, man. That was fun. Glad to be here. Glad to be back. And anytime you want, I'm here.
All right, man. Definitely going to get you back on the podcast. And good luck to you in fantasy. We're no longer in the same leagues anymore. So now you're not an opponent, you're a friend. So
All
good
right, thanks.
luck.
Appreciate it. You too, man.
All right, peace.
See ya.